The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Mick Norton and Mark Slater in the studio. We have flat racing from Pontefract and Windsor, there's jumps racing from Hexham, and there's a twilight card over the obstacles at Tramore in Ireland as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well, thank you, Mark. Yourself?
Yes, good, thank you.
Have a late night.
Well, a lot of people keep asking me that. I must get some kind of moisturiser or something. Because apparently I look like I'm rough and drunk all the time. Anyway, we're not going to talk about my face. Let's talk about some racing. And we must start with Kingman, who was very impressive in the Greenham Stakes, stating a big case for the 2,000 guineas. And he's now the 7-4 market leader for the race at Newmarket. And normally in the expert jury, which we see in the Racing Post, you get a couple of people saying one thing and then somebody else saying something opposite. And it just seems that every time I speak to anybody about Kingman, they're all very impressed.
Yeah, it was hard not to be, wasn't it? I think unanimous that this horse is now the one to beat in the guineas, and you know, you could argue that he should be shorter than 7-4. I mean, he was just as impressive as what Frankel was in the Greenham. He just looked an absolute machine, and the John Gosden's saying the right sort of things. I mean, to come out with that comment about he's never had a miler with that sort of cruising speed is, you know. Some people saying that, you sort of treat it with a pinch of salt, but he's not one to come out with over elaborate, observations of that nature. And he's clearly an absolute top prospect.
Yeah, he's not a hype monger, is he? He doesn't build horses up for
anything
for the sake
but
of building them.
He's completely the other way, if anything. So for him to say, you know, something like that is, you know, is highly complimentary. And I think Australia's going to have to be, you know, some horse to beat him over a mile at Newmarket, and the only thing really standing between him and winning the guineas, you would think, is him for whatever reason not showing his true form, not handling the course, or obviously the prospect of fast ground. But I can't believe they'll let the going get too quick, you know, when they've got a horse of that potential.
Yep, I'd agree.
To feature on the card. So, he's, unfortunately for us, he's the cat's out of the bag. You know, if he wanted to, should have been on him at fives yesterday.
Yes.
But the vibes weren't that positive for him before the race, but clearly the people in the know, close to the horse, you know, knew exactly that. I mean, they were more than pleased with his preparation. So,
faultless. All the money before the race seemed to be for Knight of Thunder. And the talk of the softer going probably being more in his favour. So that meant that Kingman was, I won't say neglected, but wasn't quite under the spotlight as you'd expect him to be. And now he's very much in the spotlight, isn't he?
So. He is, yeah. Very much he is the talking horse of the flat season so far. And Knight of Thunder, he's a solid yardstick. He was a listed winner last season, and they think a bit of him. And he's coming in turn come clear of the rest. So it looks a really rock-solid renewal.
Okay, you said you think he should be odds on at 7-4 at the moment. Would that appeal to you if you were having?
Well, I think you could argue that 7-4 is too big, but it's not my kind of price. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, personally, I wouldn't even dream of backing anything at 7-4 unless it was in a 3-runner race at Bangor. I'm not going to take 7-4 about the 2,000 guineas, but I can perfectly understand why people would want to take 7-4 about a horse that you could argue should be even money, you know, or even shorter on judged on what he did yesterday.
Okay. Kingman then very impressive. All roads lead to Newmarket for him then by the looks of things. And moving away from the 2,000 guineas, the 1,000 guineas, we saw a trial for that as well. And Jay Wonder was the winner of the Fred Darling Stakes. She, not quite as impressive as Kingman. She's 16-1 for the fillies version, the 1,000 guineas. The headline is Jay Wonder storms into the classic picture, but I didn't think she exactly stormed into the picture. I thought she's probably involved,
crept.
But yeah, sneaked in.
Yeah, definitely not stormed. No, I mean, I think 16-1's probably about right. I mean, she won it nicely enough. She had a good attitude, but they all finished in a bit of a heap, didn't they? You know, mm-hmm. and you know, the Fred Darling hasn't produced a Guineas winner since Wince in '99, and I expect that run to continue. She's a nice filly, but didn't strike me as a potential classic winner. Has to be said.
Okay,
but it does look, saying that, this year's 1,000 Guineas does look wide open, as the betting would suggest. You know.
Yeah, it's 6-1 car favourites, yeah. Of 3 at the moment.
Yeah, so
Miss France, Rosina and Tapestry at the top of that betting. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so still plenty more to learn before we get stuck into the 1,000 Guineas by the looks of things. Sticking with the flat theme before we move on to some of the jumps action from Saturday, you were impressed by Fascinating Rock, I understand.
Well, I was. I like this horse even before it ran on its sole run as a two-year-old. Unfortunately, the cat's well and truly out of the bag now, because it won its maiden at Leopardstown and then, you know, won yesterday's Bally Sack Stakes, which is invariably an informative race, and he won that just as well. And he's looking at the beauty about this horse is that he's won both races this season over a mile and a quarter. He's going to stay a mile and a half standing on his head. We'll probably get further than that, and I think they're talking about him being a really good horse. And I think you know, if he turns up at the Derby, then he could be interesting at 16-1. I think he's 16s at the minute with William Hill, and he's been there and done it, whereas some horses ahead of him in the market, you know, haven't even run this season.
Could do better than 16s. Fascinating Rock, 25-1 for the Derby.
Is he now? Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, I guess the burning question is whether they're going to run him in the Derby or, you know, target that race. They could elect for the Irish Derby, obviously. He's a good horse. He really is. And he's done nothing wrong this season. He looks a... You know, he just looks a top middle distance prospect, and he's going to be better over a mile and a half than he is a mile and a quarter. So he's exciting.
Okay, so that's a few exciting horses from the flat. Then going over obstacles, reflecting on the action at Ayr, it was Scottish Grand National Day at the Scottish venue, and Alco ring out a 40-1 winner in the Scottish National. Godsme Judge, last year's winner, 16-1 runner up this time. Trust and Times in third at 10-1. Merry King 16s, and Summary Justice fifth at 50-1. So, what did you make of the Scottish National?
Yeah, it was fairly eventful, wasn't it? It always is. I mean, how many pulled up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 horses pulled up. Bizarre. I absolutely hated every minute of it, to be honest, because I tipped the second and the third. So, to be done by a 40-1 outsider who hasn't been seen for 4 months... was a bit galling, but you never put anything past Peter Bowen, do you? He's a stable I just have never latched onto, never followed. I find him impossible to read, but he's obviously a very good trainer, and this is his time of year, isn't it? You know, from sort of April to through the summer months, he sort of mops up a lot of these big handicap chases, and go far enough back in the form book, and you could have made a case for Alco, but he certainly wasn't on my shortlist.
No, and at the start of the race, we saw Battle Group doing his now customary national disruption.
Yeah, he's on thin ice, I'm afraid. They've referred him to the BHA, and, people will be suspended, as I thought.
Yeah. I'm sure I read somewhere that he'd been retired, but I haven't confirmed it.
Well, to be honest with you, as long as they find him a nice home, and he's obviously not interested in racing, so his future's clearly away from the racetrack, but... Yeah.
Brendan Powell tweeted last night saying, "Just heard my quirky friend Battle Group has been retired."
Right.
He gave me two of my biggest wins of my career, and happy retirement to him. So.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a quirky, you know, he's a bit of a lad, wasn't he? But I think sometimes we need those horses in the game.
Yeah. He's the guy that'd go to the pub and have a few beers and start getting leery.
Yeah,
but everyone loves him in the end.
Yeah, he would. He'd drive you nuts. But, imagine training him and, a horse with so much talent and he's just so reluctant to use it. But enough's enough.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. The Scottish Champion Hurdle went the way of Cockney Sparrow with a good late drive under Dean Pratt. Second was Court Minstrel at 8-1, and My Turn to Yours could only manage third. Couldn't give all that work away and come home in front. And still the issue with him is that he's too keen in his races.
Yeah, the hood didn't seem to work, did it? I thought it did initially, but then he sort of got himself lit up going down the back, and he was far too keen from that point again to run that well under that weight. Giving really good horses that much weight was a testament to his war talent. it's all about getting that horse to Cheltenham in March, and what they do in between is just purely going to be, they're going to be fiddling about trying to discover the best way to get him settled. Mm. They may never do it, but
you're still quite keen on him for Cheltenham.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't give a damn what happens between now and March. I mean, you just judge him on festival form, and yeah, I think he's. I definitely think he's the one to beat.
Okay. 6-1 at the moment. If you want an anti-post bet on the
yeah, it's a bit. I mean, he's end of the day, he's going to be 6-1. He's going to be 6-1 come November, isn't he?
Yeah.
So there's absolutely no point in getting stuck in now. No. But if he's 6-1 at the start of next season, then we may get involved.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else catch your eye from Saturday before we move on to Monday's racing?
I mentioned one horse. Ran in the opening maiden at Newbury, a horse called Brown Diamond, who was a filly running against the boys. Finished third against two, behind two Hamdan horses. Came from last to first, and if she turns out in a filly's maiden in the next couple of weeks, then you wouldn't have thought she's going to get beat.
Okay. One to watch then in the next couple of weeks. That's it for Saturday's reflection then. Let's move on to Monday's racing next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Monday's racing then, and Alistair's picked out three races for us. The first of them is at Pontefract, and it's the 3:10, and this is a Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs with 12 of them in the lineup. A good handicap, competitive race. Which ones have caught your eye in this, Ali?
It is a valuable handicap. It's got a total prize fund of 20 grand, and it's always good prize money at Ponty, and they've been rewarded with a competitive 12-runner field. And the one I like is at the very bottom, Baby Strange, who will be a decent price. This horse will definitely get double figures about it. The key to this horse is basically having a strong pace to aim at. You know, he likes to come from behind in his races, and I'm hopeful that he'll get that here. I thought he was quite eye-catching on his reappearance at Doncaster. He wasn't drawn particularly well in stall 5, and yet, you know, he finished his race out really well to finish sixth in a field of 18. He's actually unbeaten in Pontefract, this horse. He's only run there once and won. That was a while back. You could argue that he's possibly on a high enough handicap mark now for where, you know, where he is in his career. He's a 10-year-old and thoroughly exposed. But there were signs late on last season, you know, that he can cope with this sort of mark. He finished right on the heels of the leaders in what was a good handicap at Haydock, won by a horse of Andrew Balding's called Dungannon. And on that form, he's certainly not handicapped out of contention on Monday. I just like that Donny one. I thought it was quite eye-catching from a single-figure stall, which wasn't ideal. And if he can build on it and he gets a good pace to aim at, then with the jockey taking off 7 with no weight at all on its back, I think he could go well at big price.
Okay, so Baby Strange could go well at a big price. Main dangers in there, what are you most worried about?
You couldn't rule any of them out, to be honest. I mean, it's pretty competitive as you'd expect for that sort of prize money, but the Hannon horse, and I think whether he's well enough handicapped, I'd doubt. So Baby Strange, I think it's one of those races I'd rather take a bit of a price about something, you know, than one of the market leaders.
Okay. Moving to Windsor next for their 3:50, and this is the Injured Jockeys Fund Maiden Stakes, which is a maiden over a mile and a quarter. And starting down at the bottom of the weights here with See the Moon, who's a filly by See the Stars out of Red Bloom. And she made a debut at Newmarket last season, finishing 4th of 9 behind Queen of Ice. And that was over 7 furlongs, stepping up a couple of furlongs into a mile and a quarter this evening. You think that will suit?
It's absolutely nailed on to suit, you'd have thought, on pedigree. Could well go off favourite. The man in demand, Andrea Atsini, is in the plate. And, she's clearly a potential player. The one I'm going to go for has a similar sort of profile in that he only ran once at 2, and that is Arod, who is trained by Peter Chappell Higham. This fellow entered a few notebooks when 3rd in a 1-mile maiden at Kempton in November. He was noticeably strong in the market that day at 7-4, and I thought it was a perfectly satisfactory introduction in chasing home a couple of Godolphin-owned horses. And, you know, the fact he holds quite a few high-profile entries now in races like the Dante, the Derby and the Irish Derby would suggest that he's done well from, during the winter. I also think it's quite interesting that he runs in this race in preference to an alternative option at the Craven meeting. And what I also like is the stable had a filly make a successful reappearance in what was a traditionally strong maiden at Newbury on Friday, and she too held classic entries. So I think if this horse is as good as I think, then he could easily be the answer to this.
Yeah, in Chiller was
in Chiller, yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
Okay. So Arod or A-Rod, maybe it's an Andy Roddick fan who named the horse in the 350 at Windsor, and staying at Windsor for their 520. We'll finish this piece with a class 5 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. And again, it's quite competitive stuff.
Yeah, this is tricky handicap in that there's a few, typical 3-year-old handicap. Any of these are open to improvement. The one I'm going to go with is Locked Out of Heaven, the body horse. Just thought that step up to a mile and what is the best part of a mile and a half will suit this one. Progressed with each running maiden company, and last time at Wolverhampton was the only one to really make a race of it with a very well touted and a well backed newcomer of Jason Tate's. That was, of course, his qualifying run. If you take the top two out of that maiden, I don't think it was a particularly strong race. But Stoneham, the Shannon horse, was well back in fifth. That's come out and since finished second. And the front two were, some six lengths clear of the remainder. They were totally dominant. As I said, the longer trip will suit this horse, whose dam was placed over even further than this, I think an extended mile and a half. So on pedigree, the stiffer test of stamina will suit. That last run at Wolverhampton was over 9.5 furlongs. So I think we can, bank on a bit of improvement from this horse. And the jockey is decent value for his £5. And I think Locked Out of Heaven can make his presence felt.
OK, Locked Out of Heaven then in the 5.20 at Windsor. Anything that worries you about against that selection?
Most of them. All these horses have shown promise. The top horse, Andrew Balding's stable's going really well. Wiley won its sole start as a juvenile and looks the type to go on to better things, so he'd be feared most.
Okay. Right, let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, Alistair, if you'll spin us through your three one more time.
Yeah, Baby Strange in the competitive sprint handicap at Pontefract, you off at 3.10. Then Arod gets the nod in the 3.50 maiden at Windsor, and in the closing grace on that same card, the 5.20, Locked Out of Heaven.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Alistair. Enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1.50pm with Darren Owen, Mick Norton and Mark Slater in the studio. Two flat meetings, one from Pontefract and one from Windsor. We have Jumps Racing from Hexham and a Twilight card over in Ireland from Tramore. So plenty to look forward to. Tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.